Good morning, everyone. Good to see you all here today. We're going to begin with giving a couple announcements. Number one, we have a baptism today, so welcome to anyone who's visiting with us. And it's great to, we all love to see the little babies and others get baptized, so we're excited about that. But we do want to welcome all visitors. You are a guest here, and we're glad that you are here with us on this holiday weekend, right, where some people took off an extra day. Anybody take off an extra day? And by sad, tomorrow's Monday, all right. So, but we are thrilled that you are all here today. A couple other announcements we want to mention. We serve at the Parish Foundation. Our next time serving is July 21st. And so if you're looking for any donations or if you want to participate, we'd be glad to have you there. Another thing is our Stephen Ministry. If you would like to learn and grow and become a Stephen minister, we can give you more information about that. You can read that in your bulletins, and they are great with service-oriented ministry and just really help out in a multiple number of ways. There's no youth group today. They'll see you next week. Prayer ministry, again, we recognize that we want to update and get, if you changed your email or anything else, we want to go ahead and update that. For everyone so that we can get, or if you want to be added to the prayer list, we want to make sure that you get on there. Also, you have blanket bags of care mission to help the homeless. We have this insert this week. Once again, what we're doing, we're just collecting those things that are there, and you can go ahead and take this and add that, and we're going to go ahead and make sure that they get to the homeless in our community, and we want to go ahead and make sure that happens. And so we're going to touch. We'll touch on prayer a little bit. I know Donna, you have some sign-ups. Is that correct? Is it? This is okay to be added or to update it to the prayer list. We would love to have you go ahead and fill out those clipboards. All right. Is everybody ready to worship? Let's stand as we open with prayer. Lord God, today we come to you on this this holiday weekend where we celebrate freedom, but we recognize true freedom comes in Christ. And God, it's no mistake that we are doing our Galatians series, which talks about freedom. And God, today as we are on week number four, let us just talk about who you are, and let us just also recognize that that we are free, and whoever is free in Christ is free indeed. So God, just send your Holy Spirit to move in this place. Let us worship and glorify your name. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Everybody says, amen. was made before you spoke it to be. You were the King of Kings. Yeah, you were. Yes, you were. And now you're reigning still, enthroned above all things. Angels and saints cry out. We join them as we sing. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God forever. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God forever. Yeah. Creator God, you gave me breath so I could praise your great and matchless name. All my days, all my days. So let my whole life be a blazing offering, a life that shouts and sings the greatness of our King. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God forever. Glory to God. Glory to God. God forever. Take my life and let it be all for you and for your glory. Take my life and let it be all. Take my life and let it be all for you and for your glory. Take my life and let it be all. We sing glory to God. Come on, sing. Glory to God. Glory to God forever. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God forever. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God forever. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God forever. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God forever.
God, greater than all we see, greater than all we ask. He has done great things. Come on, lifted up, he defeated the grave, raised to life. How God is able.
Able. Isn't it good to know God's able? I'm going to say it again. Isn't it good to know that God is able? Lift it up. He defeated the grave. All right? So that's awesome.
He never changes. No matter where we are in life, that peace that comes. Sing it out together.
Life, may you be lifted high. There is no one. break the darkness, no other hand that can save. Forever faithful, your hand is stronger. I trust in no other name. Yeah, Jesus, you're all I need. Jesus, you're all I need. And you are my light. May you be lifted high. There is no
Lord God, we come to you now, and we're going to continue our worship as we stand and glorify your name. But this time, God, we're going to take time to just give back in a portion of the many blessings that you've given to us in the form of your tithe and our offerings. But God, we're also going to continue to bless you in the worship that we have in our hearts and our minds. We know that there's a lot of stuff around us in the world. We know that there's a lot of stuff in our lives. But right now, God, we just want to focus and give you thanks for all the things that you've given to us. God, we don't take these in to keep here, but we take them to further your ministry around the world, literally around the world, and in our own community. And for that, we give you praise in the mighty name of Jesus. And so, God, we just pray that those who are visitors, we don't expect you to give it all. This is you're our guest today. But, God, we just ask that you anoint these gifts. Just put your blessing upon them. Multiply them and use them to reach the ends of the earth. And we'll give you praise because you are the Redeemer. And God, we give you praise. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
There
Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, Holy One. Let's sing that verse again. Here we go. There is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, Holy One. Jesus, my Redeemer, name above all names, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, oh, for sin is slain. Thank you, giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit in the work on earth is done. When I stand in glory, I will see His face, and there I'll serve my King forever in that holy place. Thank you, oh my Father, for giving us your Son. My King would die for me. Amazing love, I know it's true, and it's my joy to honor. Joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you in all I do. I honor you. Thank you, oh my Father, for giving us your and leaving your Spirit in the work on earth is done, and leaving your Spirit in the work on earth is done.
Amen. You may be seated. This time we're going to have a baptism.
So I'm asking parents and godparents or sponsors and race cars that are flying up here all to come forward and stand up here as we have the baptism of Levi Jordan Cole. Right? Who's Levi? He's like, you looking at me? All right. There we go. What's up, Jess? How you doing, brother? You can stop right over there. All right, and Debbie, come on up. Debbie, our lay leader, is going to be here. So, brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, and I think it's very fitting I start with that, because that's something that, like, churches have done for years. Hi, brother so-and-so. Hi, sister. And sometimes it kind of seems very superficial. You with me? But we've been spending time in this Galatians series talking about it's not about rules, it's about family. And so, brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we personally and together acknowledge the saving grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ. We just sang several songs about that. And this saving grace, salvation, is God's free gift. If you don't know what I'm talking about, get online and check out last week's sermon. We talked about it last week. It is offered to us without a price. It is free through Jesus Christ. Through baptism, we are identified with Christ and his church, and we're incorporated in God's mighty acts of salvation. The water symbolizes washing and cleansing, for in Christ we are made pure from sin. The water serves as a sign as circumcision in the Old Testament of entering into a covenant of faith. Children are a gift from God. See, he knows. All right? Children are a gift from God. And as I joke, I say even when they're teenagers, correct? But they are a gift from God. And in Psalm 127, it proclaims that sons are a heritage from the Lord and children are a reward from him. As believers, we are called to recognize that children belong first and foremost to God. And God in his goodness gives children as gifts to parents. They not only have the awesome responsibility of caring for that gift, but the wonderful privilege of enjoying the gift. Because children belong to God and are given by grace as gifts to parents, it is proper and appropriate that we take this time to go ahead and dedicate children back to God. We are told that in 1 Samuel, Hannah, who was barren and old in years, had a son that God, and she promised that she would dedicate him to the Lord. And she presented her son Samuel to the Lord. And in Luke 2:22, we read that Mary and Joseph brought a pretty special baby named Jesus to the temple in order to present him before the Lord. In the same way, we have Natalie, mom, right here, right? And she brings her son Levi Jordan Cole along with godparents, Chuck, right there, Joseph, yeah, wave, there he goes. And just listen to me, I'll head through this. And Emma, right? Okay. They bring them here, presenting themselves, and ultimately Levi before God. And before we continue, we also want to recognize that right in the middle of the name is a very special person named Jordan who fought a good fight a long time. And what's really neat is Levi means connected to. So Levi is connected to his daddy, Jordan, who's now rejoicing in the Lord. I was thinking when we were singing that last verse, when I stand in glory, then I'll see his face. And we know that Jordan's there today. And because of this and because of raising him, we know that he's going to see him. We're all going to see him again one day. Amen? Amen. All right, Debbie.
We're here today to recognize that the body of Christ, Levi, is being brought by his mother and his godparents to be baptized. As the family of God, we recognize God's love that is already at work in his life. We pray for the day when Levi will mature and respond to the saving grace of God, accepting Jesus Christ as his Savior and Lord, and pledging himself to a life of faithful discipleship.
All right, so bow with me for a prayer, if you will. So we pray, Father, look now upon your church and unseal for us the fountain of baptism. By the power of your Holy Spirit, God, bless this gift of water, bless Levi who receives it, so that in this sacrament of baptism, your Holy Spirit will protect and guide him in his journey with Christ. Amen. All right, so Natalie and three amigos, one amiga. All right, here we go. So Natalie, Chuck, Joseph, and Emma, as members of the covenant community of God through your own confession of faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord, will you nurture Levi in Christ's early church that by your teaching and example, he may be guided to accept God's grace for himself, profess his faith openly, and lead to a Christian life? If you do so, say we will. Chopped his car. All right, so All right. So, to everyone else here, to the Covenant Community of Faith gathered here, will you surround Levi before you and the parent and sponsors that are up here? Would you support them? Debbie, you want to continue?
Will you support and surround Levi before you with a community of love and forgiveness that he may grow in his trust of God?
Okay, good. So I always hated when I was growing up in church, I always told my dad, who was a pastor, I hated it, that we just had a lot of we wills and I do's and stuff like that, and you don't know what you're signing off on. You just kind of blah, 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 and do it, right? Anybody with me? And so one of the things, here's what happened. They said that we talked about how children are a gift from God and given to them, and they said that, yeah, we recognize that, and they're responsible for his physical and his emotional and mental needs. They're also responsible for his spiritual needs. So they said here that they are going to, by their teaching, and parents were really good at teaching, right? And here's the hard part. An example, right? We're not so good at that, right? We're not all the time. But by the example, we may live a life that Levi will go ahead and want to accept God's grace for himself. You all said, we're going to make sure that if they choose this church to raise him in that environment, that you're going to supply that. That means when he's a little kid, there's people in nursery. That means you're going to give time in Sunday school. That means when he's a teenager, you're going to dedicate to youth group. That means when he gets older and married, that you're going to support him around that. It is a lifelong thing. It does take a village, and the village is the church. And the world will be a much better place. All right? So here you go. Come here, Levi. Come here. You want to play? We're going to play a little bit. Come here. Come here, buddy. There we go. Look at this. I got some water here. Look at this. Look at this. You want to play in that? You want to touch it?
You can.
Touch it. Go ahead. He's like, uh-uh. Okay, you ready? Look at that. Levi, Jordan Cole, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, come here. Ready? Ready? I'm going to do something. My gosh, you're a chunk. All right. Glad I was working out this week. All right. Jesus, draw me close. Closer, Lord, to you. Let the world around me fade away. Jesus, draw me close. Closer, Lord, to you, for I desire to worship and obey. We think. Wanna go for a walk and say hi to people? Come on, we'll come back. There we go. Did everybody say hi? There he is. It's gonna be a quick walk, or else I'm gonna have to switch arms. I'm used to little guys, not this big guy.
Hello.
Hello, can you say hi?
Hi.
There you go. All right. Here he is. Why, he's already bigger than you. He's a big boy. You want to go back to mommy? All right, so as part of a recognition today, we have a certificate here. For you, we'll give you a copy of the service, and we have a flower for you, Mom, to recognize this day. All right, so let me hand them here. Okay, here you go, Mom. So, all right, guys, I know y'all want to get hold of them. Let's welcome them. Let's just say prayer really quickly. Lord God, we come to you today, and we thank you for Levi's life. We know that, God, from the beginning, he has been part of your plan and a tremendous miracle and a joy in this family's life. And so, God, we thank you that they are part of our family, the church, and we just ask that your Holy Spirit just guide him and protect him and be with him every day of his life. Be with Natalie and with her family and the godparents as they continue to raise him in Christ Church. And, God, we give you praise, for you are greater than all of us can even begin to imagine. In Jesus' mighty name. And everybody says, amen. Let's welcome them back. Love you, babe.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, guys. Thanks, Chuck. Thank you. Thank you, brother.
Thank you.
All right. All right, I believe we have some prayer requests back there today, and
Sunday school.
We're going to let them go, our Haven kids. We're going to let them go. And just say hello to a couple people around you, and then we're going to move to prayer. All right, everyone, here we go. If everyone will go ahead and get back to your seats, we're going to go ahead and lift up some prayers that we have here. Liz and Larry sending out birthday wishes for her mom. She will be, ready for this, 95 tomorrow. So we definitely want to continue. Margie is just an incredible lady. So we want to lift up. Chris King has asked for prayers for our son Scott for some emotional issues. We want to continue to lift him in your prayers. We also want to lift up the Eichner family and the passing of Wanda's husband after a big battle with dementia over the last several years. And we just want to thank God for him. Also, a name that some of you may know. I saw that when I went to Northeast High School, there was a guidance counselor. Her name was Jane Ford. And she passed away at the age of 90 on July the 5th this week. And so many of you know her daughter Paula Lutz and her son Bob Ford. We want to continue to lift them and the entire family in your prayers as well. Also, Melissa and I had a joy. We have a 21-year-old son now. I had him when I was 5. Do the math. But happy birthday, Jacob. We're glad as Jacob... Jacob was a little tiny thing. Some of you are old enough to remember that. And he came a little bit early, and we didn't know where he was going to make it. And he's very much here, and we thank God for that, all right? So we're thankful. Let's go to the Lord in prayer today. Heavenly Father, as we take this time once again to thank you for all these wonderful things that go on in life, birthdays, anniversaries, we also lift up these tremendous lives of 95 years and still going strong with Margie. We just give you praise for her life. And God, for Jane Ford, who's passed on, we ask, I know she touched many people's lives through school and or through her business for the last several years down in Chesapeake City. We just ask for them and just for people who are going through several issues or concerns, for anybody else who is just struggling today, God, we give you praise. For this little Levi who we today have done a baptism for, we know that, God, you have a plan for his life, and we just pray that he will seek it and find it and just continue to serve and just be a strength for you. For these and all other things, God, we give you praise as now we continue in the rest of the time. Let your Holy Spirit fall. As now we move to hearing your word. Will you bring your word to us and that we can just celebrate who you are. In Christ's mighty name we pray. Amen.
Chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, the spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir.
I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel I preached is not of human origin. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is the new creation. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free.
Right. All All right, here we go. So, hey, we work with it. All right. We are continuing. We're in our fourth week already, believe it or not, of the Galatians series. Every year or so, we like to take a series and just get into the book of the Bible and go through. As I said, most of the time, I kind of come up with a topic. I put it together, and we have different scriptures all over the place that kind of connect to the topic. But over the last several weeks, I really wanted to just kind of go, and we're going verse by verse in the scripture. I hope that many of you have just picked up the book of Galatians and are following through. And this is the fourth week, so what chapter are we on? Oh, you guys are smart. So, yeah, so we're on the fourth chapter, and we are going to celebrate this. Galatians, the Apostle Paul wrote letters, and they called them epistles. Everybody? I'll try that again. Everybody call them what? There we go. And they're just basically letters. He was the Apostle Paul, which meant he was a church planner. And he would go around and he would plant churches. And then after he got them built up, he would have a leader. And after he had the leader, he would go ahead, get out of Dodge, and then they would write him letters. There was no internet, no telephone, no nothing, no CB radio, anything like that back in the day. So he would get these letters, and when he received these letters, most of the time it was Paul would send these letters because he heard that there was something that wasn't quite right. In this case, he had gone in, he had taught the Galatian people, he had set it up, he had taught them about freedom in Christ, and then there was a group of people called the Judaizers who were good Christian people, but they were converts from Judaism to Christianity. And they had this belief in their mind that you had to do certain things first before you became a Christian. So one of the things were, they said that you had to go ahead and follow Jewish laws. For the males, they believed it was circumcision. So they show up after Paul leaves and they say, hey, you guys are all Gentiles and here's a problem. You guys are good, but there's one problem. You guys haven't been circumcised. Don't ask me how I know they knew that. I have no clue. But I know that there's humor in the scripture, and I have said very much so. If that was a prerequisite and I was one of them, I would have left the church a long time ago with me. Anybody? Okay? So this is what happened with the Galatian people. Paul finds out about it and says, oh, no, 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 no. It's wrong. This is wrong. And we've journeyed through that for several weeks. In week one, we talked about how Paul shared there are two different kinds of the gospel. There are two different types of Christianity. And there's the one that deals with rules and regulations, and there's another one that deals with relationship. And we talked about that. We even talked about, and continuing in week two, how this choice in these two types of Christianity or faith go all the way back to Genesis and continue all the way through Revelation. We're back in the Old Testament. You had Adam and Eve, and they had a choice. They had a choice between the tree of the of life, where there was freedom, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, being like God. So in doing so, they chose this one. In week two, we talked about how we're kind of like spiritual Tarzans, that we like to be in the tree of life, but occasionally, and maybe more than not occasionally, we like to swing back to the tree of knowledge and good and evil. And we talked about how those things happen where we're like, oh, yes, we're free in Christ, we're this. Oh, did you see that person there? And we get very judgmental. Oh, well, we need these rules and regulations. Oh, did you hear that? So we swing back and forth between those. And that week kind of drove me nuts because if you're like me, I caught myself many times swinging from that tree of life back into that tree of knowledge and good and evil. Anybody in that boat with me or the tree with me? Okay? There's plenty of branches there. Join me, okay? So we talked about that, and we talked about how not to do this Christian walk. Last week, Paul explained grace, the gift of grace in chapter 3, how it's a free gift. We just shared that in the baptism here today. And we explained the process of grace and how that occurred. We wanted to say that you needed to hear the gospel truth. Anybody heard that? The gospel truth. This is the real part of the gospel, that there is this grace, this undeserved love and favor, that we can do nothing to earn it. We can try, but we will fall short every single time. And it's God's free gift. And that starts this whole process of salvation. So now that you're caught up, here we are today. Today is a very, very important truth. Maybe one of the most important of all. It is dealing with the idea of relationship. The idea of relationship. And in Galatians, the Apostle Paul uses the term sonship or sons to talk about that. About sons. And that is all about relationship. Now, and I believe if that is left out, if this relationship is left out, nothing else works. Because God never intended for him to be a religion. He intended for it to us to have a relationship with him. From the beginning of the Old Testament to the end of the Bible, it is constantly about relationship. Relationship. So I need to define this term to start off, this term of sons or sonship. Sons actually means sons and daughters, okay? So if you're getting upset because you're nobody's son, don't worry about it. It means sons and daughters. In this day and age, we get really caught up with these kind of issues, don't we? We get really, really caught up with it. In the Bible, they were not caught up with this kind of thing like we are. Sonship just means sons and daughters. It means relationship. It's not gender exclusive. And this displays a good difference. Like, for instance, look at what it says here in Galatians. It says this verse, Galatians 3:26. You are all, what? Sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. He's talking to male, female, all kinds of people, and he's saying you are all sons. Let me share with you this way. This is how it would be in the vernacular. It's like if I saw, say I saw Becky, and I went over and said, and she's looking all mad, and I say, you mad, bro? I'm not saying Becky's a bro. I'm just saying it's a term, right? What's up, dude? Anybody ever done that? This is the same kind of thing that we're doing. Nobody goes, what's up, dudette? Right? We just, you do? Okay, there you go. Well, hey, there's one. Okay, there's always one in the bunch. All right, so, but we kind of use that term constantly. But if you're still feeling bad about this, just recognize that, guys, we are part of the bride of Christ, too. So we get it ourselves. All right, so just be comfortable with that. So, ladies, don't be offended. The idea of sonship, it's not a physical thing. It is a spiritual thing that we want to talk about. So let's look at Galatians 4, 4 through 7. Which Grandma Rachel read for us here today. And here we go. It's true. All right. She is the grandma of Levi, so anyway, go with it. All right. So look what it says here. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law. Now, why is that important? Because God wanted Jesus to experience everything you and I do. Okay? So he left his divinity in heaven to his omnipresence to come to earth to live life like we have it, under born of a woman, under the law, and in 6 months you can celebrate that born of a woman thing all you want, right? Because 6 months, Christmas, yes. Okay? To redeem, to make right. Remember last week we talked about that grace, that hell is not a place for people who are bad. Hell is a place for people who want to pay their own debt. Jesus, you ever seen a coupon? Redeem. What, you ever seen that on there? It means that is worth that amount of money. That is worth that. Jesus came to pay our debt, all right? So that's why he came. Paul is saying God sent his son, born of a woman, under law to experience everything we did in order to redeem us so that we might receive adoption to what? Sonship. So there's this miraculous thing that happens through adoption. Then you have this relationship with Christ that you didn't have. Now we're going to continue into this. Because you are his sons, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts. Stop. Notice that if you look at the Old Testament, anytime the spirit of God is talked about, it talks about the spirit of God comes upon someone, right? So when Samson, everybody know Samson? Long hair, kind of lived a really rough life. Okay, and he goes out, and it says the Spirit of God came upon him. The Spirit of God came upon him. So in the Old Testament, the Spirit of God will come upon somebody for a task. What we see here is through what Christ does, that we see that the Spirit of the Son comes where? Into our hearts. It is an inner thing that happens here. And so what we recognize, this idea of sonship is not a belief or an idea at all, but is a spiritual thing. So my hope today is simply this. And when we get down here, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father, Abba, Father. My hope today is that you will get that Spirit of the Son in you, that sonship in you, and you will call out, Abba, Father. And we're going to talk about that in a little bit more. Now, we are used to this whole kind of church thing as we started today with the baptism. Brothers and sisters. How many went to a church where people said, hello there, Brother Justin. How are you, Sister Becky? How are you, Brother Wes? And, you know, how many did that? Okay? Somebody were part of that. Some people may have heard that thing, and it's good. That is to bring about that family thing. Just to let you know, first century, that was so foreign that nobody ever thought there is no way possible, no way possible that you should be talking to God who is far removed. The Hebrew people would not even spell, and still don't, the Orthodox do not, they leave out letters because God is way far removed and way too holy to even spell his name. Okay, you don't even do that or else you'll be struck down. They have this ideology through the scripture that if you reach out and touch something that's holy, boom, you're dropped dead. The priests that would go in one day a year, which the Jewish people celebrate as Yom Kippur, would go ahead and he'd walk in with a bowl of blood as a sacrifice for his own sins and one for the people. And he had bells on the bottom so that they could listen and hear him. And if the bell stopped, they also tied a rope on his foot so they could drag the sucker out. That was the idea that they had about God, because he's holy, we're not. Now all of a sudden, with Jesus, Paul is making the statement saying, hey, you can call Jesus the term Abba Father, which means daddy, which means daddy. And so they were shocked by this statement. Look at what it continues here. He says, so you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also his heir. And what we're going to talk about now is the contrast that the Apostle Paul is making between a slave and a son or daughter, as a child of God. All right? And so so many of us may have been working, many of us may not like this church thing at all because we've been working this relationship from a slave place, from a rule, regulation, slave place, rather than from a free relationship place in sonship. Okay, so you ready? Everybody ready? Hike. Okay, so the first thing that we want to talk about is the difference. A slave has a master. Everybody knows that, correct? In slavery, there is a master. Of course, there is a master when it comes to this relationship. And a master is, from history, what we see is always demanding something from a slave. And often when the slave was called for, throughout history, they came with fear and trembling. They would come with, oh my gosh, you know, some wouldn't even look at them. There was rules and regulations that all slaves had to obey. If not, there was penalty, even up to the point of death. Correct? Anybody know what I'm talking about here? All right, that's history. And many of us, unfortunately, have the same mindset of God. We were talked about that if you do this, that there is this God who's sitting up in the clouds, who's got his pocket full of lightning bolts to part your head and is just waiting for you to screw up so he can kill you. Anybody have that? That God is angry and he's always waiting to smite and smote and kill, right? Anybody ever had this? All right, and that is a view of God that we take on, that God is this heavenly master that demands, and we can't fill it. So we become, in a sense, spiritual runaway slaves in many cases. Or we kill ourselves by trying to work more to please this heavenly master who we're never going to please in the first place. Right? So that's what we have here. We have this approach to many. There are still many churches that have this idea today. There is a church in Mexico. It is called Our Lady of Guadalupe. And in this church, they have this idea for penance, to suffer so much that miles out, they will walk to the church on their knees like this for miles. It's a long trip, right? And they do it so much, and some people have done it for so long, that you can see bloodstained streets because people's knees are torn up. And people do this thinking that they have to please this spiritual master that's up there. But the thing is, that's not the spirit that God wants. I think there's earnest people who are doing that, but I'm telling you, that is not the spirit of relationship and sonship. For instance, I don't tell my kids, yell for them and say, crawl on your knees down the stairs. Go get me that in the basement and I want you to crawl on your butt cheeks. I don't do that. Right? Does anybody else do that? Because it's not about master and slave. It is about relationship. And the son has a father, not a master. It's a different relationship. Jesus, you know what I think is really cool about Jesus? Jesus was a kid magnet. Did you notice that? Like, there's that scripture where the disciples are dragging kids away from him and telling them to get away. And Jesus says, no, let them come to me. He says, I like them. They're real. You know, that's really what he's saying. I like them. They're real. And he says, you got to become like them. In other words, you got to become real. You got to get rid of all this stuff. Because there were so many people around Jesus who have been taught that you have to come to him through this legalistic slave mindset. And he said, no, they just come to me and approach me. In a single way. Jesus was somebody who drew people into himself. And when we look at this, Jesus is not that Hollywood version, whether he speaks British English or not, you know what I mean? Or he gives you the curveball hand. Anybody know what I'm saying? Like Jesus has this. You know what I'm talking about, right? Yeah. This is the idea of Jesus that we have here. Look at what it says here in Romans. Romans says, the spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit received brought you about adoption to sonship. The Spirit received is what's there and what's important. Look at what it says, continue on here in Romans chapter 8. It says, and by him we cry out, Abba, Father, which is that most endearing term that they had back then, Daddy or Papa or whatever. Like, my kids have different names, Daddy, Dad, sometimes they might call me Pops. Their friends sometimes call me Papa Jack. You know, it's like that thing. I can tell, one of the things that you can tell, you can always tell the relationship by what somebody calls you. You know what I mean? Like, for instance, I can always tell when I get a phone call sometimes and somebody say, hello there, Reverend Cohen. And I'm like, this person has no clue who I am. Right? Some of you who know me in the church atmosphere may say, oh, there's Pastor Jack. I know, where's my buddy Luke? Is he in Sunday school? Luke tells his little stuffed animals about his friend Pastor Jack. There's videos of it. It's awesome. So he's like, Pastor Jack says, and he's sitting back today and waving at me, all right? He has a relationship with me that we have. Other of you call me Jack because you've known me for years. And I remember early on people would say, Reverend Cohen, is that what I should call you? I say, no, that's my dad. I'm Jack, right? You know, that works. I don't need the titles. I've had some people call me PK and those kind of things, whatever they want to do. When it comes to school, I have one lady who calls me all the time. She calls me Dr. Jack. I love it. I don't have a doctorate, but I'll take it, right? You know what I mean? So I'm Dr. Jack to her. You know why she calls me Dr. Jack? Because she has no clue who I am, right? But when somebody who knows me says, hey, Jack, we have a relationship. You know what I mean? You with me here? So some of you may have nicknames from parents or nicknames for that significant other. They may call you Pookie Bear. And you may call Bright Eyes or whatever. I don't know. But you have those names. You don't just walk up to, to someone that you don't know. You don't go to a store after here today and say, or a waitress and she's there and you go, Pookie Bear, I'd like this on number 5 on the menu. She's going to say, Pookie, what? You know, because you don't have a relationship with them. You know the relationship people have by what they call each other. And so what I want you to do is I want you to go ahead and just ask yourself, what ways do you address God? What way do you talk to God? How do you say, God, who are you? We're going to talk about this more in a bit. The other thing, a slave is an employee. A slave is an employee. Have you ever been somewhere, like in a store or maybe even a restaurant? Like you're at a restaurant and it says the host or hostess will seat you. And you come up and you see like a billion empty seats. And there's like 45 people sitting around waiting to be seated. And they're just kind of like doing their Snapchat and you're like, oh, taking selfies. And you're going, right? You know why? Because they don't care. They're an employee. Am I right? You can tell an employee. Now, if they owned the restaurant, you bet every rear end would be in every seat that you could be, right? That's how it happens. And you can tell the difference. Because when you are an employee, yeah, you're there, but you're doing it so you get paid and you leave. But if you are a part owner in that, then guess what? You're going to do everything you can to make it what you need to be. And so if you don't see your faith in this Christian walk as family business, you won't care as much. But when you recognize that it's family business, you care a lot more. And that's why Paul says the slave is an employee, but the son is an heir. Is an heir. It's your business. You don't, like, for instance, I want to tell you something. I don't work for God. I work with God. The cool thing is God and I are partners in this thing. That's why it's called the Great Commission.
co-mission. It means that God and I work in this thing together. He's doing a lot more than me, just to let you know. Thank God he is. All right? But it is together. And I recognize that it's like the old story where, and it's totally made up, but it's like Jesus ascended into heaven. He saw Gabriel sitting there, and Gabriel said, "How'd it go?" He said, "Well, it was kind of good. I met some people, called them my disciples. They kind of followed me around. One of them betrayed me. We knew that would happen. I died, and I rose again, and I left it in their hands with the Holy Spirit." And Gabriel said, "What's plan B?" He said, "There is no plan B." You see, we're in this together with the Holy Spirit. And so, like, one of the things that I've always seen, occasionally somebody will come up to me and go, I want to tell you, I really love your church. And I say, ain't my church. Never has been, never will be my church. If you look at this as part of my goal is that you look at this as your church and that you have part ownership in this church and that you serve. There's some people who their main calling is they love to go serve at the Paris Foundation. And I love it. I love that they do. There are other people who are Stephen Ministry. There are other people who love Sunday school and Bible studies. There are other people who serve in these realms all kinds of things. There's people who connect because guess what? This is you. This is your church together with God, not me. I'm just a placeholder for the time being right here. When God decides, he'll move me out and place somebody else here. This is his church, and he calls people together with him. And so when it's your church, when you say it's my church, then when you see somebody baptized, you say, guess what? Levi is my kid. When you go ahead and you see a visitor, it's not a visitor church, it's my visitor to church. When you see a need, you say, that's my need. And we come together to meet those things. In Romans chapter 8, it says this. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, and we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. That means everything that God has for us, he wants us to have. Like, I want the best for my kids. Did anybody want to give your children more than you had, like in everything? And you're like, darn it, I didn't. Did you get the stories about how you had to walk in snow up to your rear end, right? And I don't think many of us did, right? It just makes good for a story, right? But we always had it worse than our kids, and we hope that our kids always have it better, don't we? Why would we think then God as our Heavenly Father will want stuff worse for us? He wants it better for us, and he has all those things. And he wants us to have blessings so that we can be a blessing to others time and time again. This third point that I have here, I'm going to do something a little different. I want to give you the verse of scripture to explain it, and then we're going to fill it in, okay? It comes from Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 through 13. It says, work hard. And you say, wait a second, Jack, you said we didn't have to work. You said grace is free. Hold on. Hang in here. Work hard to show the what? Results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. For God is, I love this part, God is working on you. Anybody ever seen that shirt, Be Patient, God Isn't Done With Me Yet? God is working in you, giving you two things that I think that we all need a good dose of. Desire and power. Desire and power that when we have this. You're right. Faith is not achieved by works. Grace is the catalyst of it all. That undeserved favor, we don't have to earn it, we can't earn it. But when we receive it, then God begins to work in our lives and he begins to do things. It is the order of the thing. It's not that works aren't important, it just means that we get them mixed up. We put works before grace, and grace comes before works. Everybody with me? Okay, good, I just want to check. So, this is a verse that I want you all to just embrace. We work hard out of the results, because God is working on us. God is working in us in order to change our desire, so we have a desire and power. You know, there are things that I never, ever want to do in life. I can have a good dose of the spirit of sloth. Anybody with me? Like, sometimes you just want to be. But I can tell you there have been things that I have done over the years for my parents and for others who are in my heart because I wanted to do it out of desire for them and the joy that I have with that. You with me? So many of us, you know, there's other things that I had to do because of rules and regulations in life that I didn't like. I can tell you, I much rather liked as a kid doing the things that I wanted to do to please my parents rather than doing the things I had to do because it was rules and regulations.
And when we mix those up in the church, you're going to hate everything if you have to do this and you have to do that, right? A slave, here we go, next one. So what we're saying is a slave is driven by duty. By duty. For instance, many of us may have this thing. Oh, I got to read my Bible. I got to read that 5 hours. Right? Oh, I got to pray. And so I'm trying to pray 30 minutes a week. I started that as my New Year's resolution. I'm going to pray 30 minutes a day. And now I'm up to 17. I'm repeating everything. Right? Grumble, grumble, grumble. So instead of, you can tell by where you are in, whether you are have a spirit of sonship or a slaveship, by when you say, hey, guess what? It's time to serve, and our whole church is going to serve today. And you can tell by what your first reaction is. If your reaction is, woo, let's go serve, there you go. If it's like, oh, I have plans on Saturday, and it's my day, right? You can tell the difference, right? This is where we are. This is reality. So we may be where a slave is driven by duty, a son is driven by devotion. And probably the most biblical example of this balance is from Luke chapter 10. And here's what it says. It's about two people that meant a lot to Jesus. It says, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. And so, here you go. You have Mary and Martha. This is probably one of my most favorite stories in Scripture. I've probably done more sermons on this than anything because I think it relates to these two trees, these two areas of faith more than ever. And so, here it says, Martha came to Jesus and said, Martha, she's not, Mary's not doing this. She's, right? That's what the translation says here. Look, it's right here in Scripture. She came to Jesus and said, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Dad, right? You see, both Mary and Martha loved Jesus. No question. They both loved him immensely. Both wanted to give him something. And here's what Jesus said. Martha, Martha. Anybody ever had a Martha, Martha moment? Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has done what? Chosen better. You see, here we are back to this choice again. It's the same choice that Adam and Eve had. It's the same choice that the disciples had. It's the same choice that we have today. It's the same choice that everybody's going to have at the end of time. The same choice that we're going back and forth in. And you see, when you choose Jesus, it's always what? Better. It's always better. And so my goal is about relationship, so that we can continue to live out of devotion. You see, Mary, you know, the house was a mess. The food needed to be done. It doesn't mean that Martha was doing something bad. It just meant that it wasn't time for that. It just meant that Jesus was there. And sometimes we are so busy that we don't even see Jesus in the midst of what we're doing for him. And that's why Jesus said, that's why Paul continued to say this. How do we do this, Jack? How do we go ahead and live in devotion, not duty? When it says, formerly, when you did not know God, you were slaves to those who by nature are not God. So you didn't know God. But now that you know God, or rather known by God, how is it that you are turning back to those weak and miserable principles? This goes back to the very beginning of why Paul's writing this whole letter. And he continues and says, do you wish to be enslaved by them all over again? Here is Paul correcting and saying, hey, here's what you need to do. So in our remaining time today, I'm going to give you three quick steps to help you know God. Because before, he said, before you knew God, you were a slave. So I want you to have these steps to know God. Okay, everybody good? Here we go. First thing is we have to see God as Father. You got to see him as Daddy. It's probably what I should have put up. Probably put up the viewpoint that we have. What does God look like to you? When you pray, what do you say? Because your view, remember how we said, your view or what we say to someone displays our relationship with God. What you think about God will determine how you relate to him. In Matthew 7,
Jesus tried to straighten this out and explain this. He said, which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone, or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? Now, nobody's going to do that at all. He says, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask? You see, Jesus is revolutionizing the mindset of that God is not this master who's waiting to put a lightning bolt through your skull when you mess up. That he is a good and loving Father that wants to give blessing upon blessing and good things. Now, I know one of the biggest stumbling blocks to people seeing God in this view is probably one of Satan's greatest tools is tearing down fatherhood. And maybe in your own personal life, you did not have a good father. There are many, many people who've had abusive fathers and had abusive situations time and time again. And I don't ever want to minimize that one bit. I don't ever, ever want to minimize that. And I believe that's why Satan attacks that. They've done studies, and as a matter of fact, I was talking to a friend of mine who's a social worker who's doing a full study on the effects of fatherhood and relationship with daughters and sons. It's fascinating. When I was in grad school, I also did something about fatherhood and the effects that it has on people. And I saw a 50-year-old man giving an interview who I'd never met before in tears talking about the abusive relationship he had with his father. So again, I don't want to minimize that at all. But God is not that. We've got to stop coming to a place where we allow what people do who are sinful, all of us, determine who God is. We need to have the other way around. We need to have God determine who we are. And we need to start to change that. Like, think about your prayers. One of the coolest prayers I ever heard was at a Fellowship of Christian Athletes place. There was a young man. He was a single, it was part of he was raised by a grandmother. He was an athlete from the inner cities of Baltimore. And he sat there, and they had him come up and pray. And he said, "Dear Dad." And all the real church people were like, "What'd he say?" Right? But it was the coolest thing, because guess who his daddy is? His daddy's God, and he understands that. It was a powerful, powerful prayer. Number two, we need to approach God through relationship and not rules. Now, all of us have rules in our home, correct? Some of us, how many remember when you had to have curfew times? How many of you ever broke a curfew? Right? You're evil, all of you. No, right? How many had a good excuse? How many hated that on Channel 13 they used to remind your parents, it's 11 o'clock, where are your children? And you strolled in at 12 or 1, they're like, Bob Turk told me, where were you? I'm wondering, you know, right? Everybody with me here? You remember that? And so... yes, we had those things because we had no cell phones. Once we were gone. Okay, so you have those things, and we all have certain rules that we have, and I have rules in my house about certain things. I hate disrespect. I hate lying. I hate those things, but you know, sometimes there's certain rules, and you might be in the middle doing something, and I might say, "Hey, don't bother me when I'm doing this one." But every once in a while, you might get your child to like just go ahead and just say, "Come downstairs," or they might call you. And, you know, each kid, you know when they call you and they want something. Oh, stop. No, I'm not going to tell on you. She might have just told her herself. But occasionally one will call me and you'll get this, like, same kind of mantra, right? You know, sometimes they may say, "Hey, what's going on?" And you're like, "What do you want?" Okay, right? You know, or they may just come down and say, "Hey, Daddy." And you're like, "What?" You know, you're waiting for it. Am I right, parents? You know that's coming. Out of the blue. All of a sudden, "Hey, what are you doing?" That one, right? You get that one? You're like, doing the same thing I was doing when you saw me 5 minutes ago. "So I just have a question. You know, it's coming right out. Do you have any money?" "No, ask your mother." You know, that kind of thing. So, and here's the thing about that. Occasionally, though, they may just do something really, really kind of cool that just kind of touches your heart. Like, you know, one of the coolest things last year, and I'm going to pick on you now, but it's not going to be bad, is when... at Rising Sun High School, they have a senior walk, and they walk him in, and usually it's a friend or a boyfriend or something, and my daughter asked me to walk her in. Yeah, exactly. When you do that, you can ask for anything. What do you want, honey? You're taking, right? You want the keys to my car? You want the house? Enjoy, right? You know what I mean? Because sometimes rules go by the wayside at times. They do tend to go by the wayside when you
fall into the favor of the Father's heart. And so, yes, there are rules that God has. But grace is about falling into the favor of the Father's heart. Because none of us achieve grace. None of us achieve anything without grace. We can't live the law of God without the love that God has for us. And sometimes we just got to stop going to God in prayer and saying, I want, I need, I got to have. And we just need to say, just checking in with you, Daddy. How you doing? And it changes the Father's heart. You see, it's the approach that's different. And in John chapter 5, 39, Jesus told people, you diligently study the scriptures because you think by them you are going to receive salvation. You're going to have eternal life. These are the scriptures, though, that testify about me. In other words, Jesus is saying this. You're looking and you're reading and you're searching out God. I'm right here. Here I am. And that was the problem with Martha. Jesus is there. Mary's like, he's here. Martha's like, I got to get this done. I got to make sure God has a good meal. I got to do this stuff. Lord, will you tell her to get this stuff ready for you and get away from you? Yet she stopped and missed him. Don't miss out on the presence of God because of the stuff of God that we put in there. You need to see him right with a viewpoint as Daddy. You need to approach him without rules. And this last one that we have here is you need to give God your whole heart. Your whole heart. You need to go all in. You need to fall in love with God 100%. You ever have people, that's a popular thing now. You say, hey, are you doing that? And they, 100%. 100%. Anybody heard this? Everybody's 100%. Wouldn't it be awesome if somebody said, hey, do you love God? You're like 100%. And you meant it and you lived it out. In Jeremiah 29, it says this, you will seek me and find me when you seek me. With what? All your heart. I will be found by you. God's not playing hide and seek. He's right there and he's saying, here I am. Here I am. Find me. There are certain people that you have in your heart. Certain people that you have in your heart. You ever know, like, anybody ever lost a kid? Like, you can't find them? Might have been when, before cell phones and Bob Turk's reminding you, or whoever it was, right? And you couldn't find them and you were panicky. Or somebody's supposed to be somewhere and they're not there, and you go looking for them, and you go knocking on the door, and you have everybody calling, and you don't know where they are, and there's that moment of panic, right? There's that time of panic where you can't find them. And it usually, at times, we live in a time where we have those Amber Alerts and other kinds of alerts that tell us that somebody's missing, whether it's an older adult with dementia or whatever that gets out there. And just to let you know, you start to go, oh, wow, you look for it, right? You go, okay, I'm going to look for that car. I'm going to look for that person. But if it's a person who's in your heart, you won't stop looking. You won't give up on it till you find it. For me, the spirit of sonship is this. We need to have Jesus in our hearts. We need to have God as the greatest love of our life and not give up on until we find him in all things in life. When relationship with God, it's you want to do everything for him. You want to be close to him because he's in your heart. I'm going to end this with a statement today. Relationship changes everything. God never wanted a religion. He never desired that we come to him through rules and regulations. I don't want my kids loving me because they have to. I want them to love me because I first love them. And because each and every day of my life, I would do anything and lay down my life for each one of them. That's what the Father did for us. And I pray that's what we do by having that spirit of sonship. Amen. Everybody stand up. We're going to sing this last song and just worship God one more time corporately as a church today. And then we're going to send you out of here into whatever weird weather system there is out there today.
So no matter what you heard today, believe you're a child of God. You know, we've all lived our lives in fear, letting the world define us. Even today, you know, and I know some of you today might walk in here, this is your first time in church in a while, maybe ever. You know, just remember, no matter what you believe, God is with you. You're his child. And, you know, just as we sing this song today together, just it's a proclamation. We're not just singing a song. We're proclaiming to God that we are his child, and we're not going to live in fear. The next time you're afraid of something, just go to God and say, God, you know, I don't want to be afraid anymore. I want to live the life that you led. I don't want to, you know, let the world define me, or my boss define me, or my family define me. Only you can define me, Lord. And I'm no longer a slave to fear. Proclaim it. I am a child of God. And I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child. You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies, till all my fears are gone. Chosen me, love has called my name. I've been born again into your family. Your blood flows through my veins. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God.
and I'm no longer a slave to fear.
That you don't have to be a slave. Isn't it good? Isn't it good to know that maybe good-meaning people for years that were telling you about this God of wrath and fire and might and destruction and hatred is a figment of our imagination, because he's a loving, gracious daddy who just wants a relationship with you. And my prayer, I'm going to do this next week. I'm going to do it whenever God calls me to. But my main purpose for even doing this at all is because my daddy told me to do it. And because I love him so much. I love him for everything that he's given to me. That I want you to understand a relationship with your daddy too. I want you to understand that God loves you. Loves you more than you can ever imagine. In spite of everything that you've done. In spite of everything that you will do this week. Because if you're like me, you're going to do a lot. Because if you have a mind as active as mine, then it's pretty demented, all right? But guess what? My daddy loves me. And when I run away, when I've run away and tried to live my own life, as Jesus told us, my daddy's just sitting there waiting for me to come back. He's not going to punish me when I get back, which would be what a master would do, because as the prodigal said, hey, just make me a servant. He says, I'm not making you a servant. You're my son. I love you. So my prayer is whatever you've been through, whatever church you've been part of, whether you've not been part of a church, that you recognize that you have a daddy who loves you and wants you to come home. And that you'll experience what my friend John Hobbs talks about, that you'll come to know the heart of the Father more than ever before in your life. Amen? All right. Next week, right here, cutting in the race. We're talking about cutting in the race. So we're going to run this week and work off that stuff so we can pick up Levi. Have a great week. God bless. Bam, it's a wrap.